We're your weather girls.
And do we have some poorly written fiction for you.
You better listen. Here's some stuff to look forward to this episode.
First stop, IKEA. Second stop, the mall.
Jenna is a mad lad.
They're all drinking wine!
Whoa!
And so much more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to episode 7 of It's Probably Raining Men. Today we're talking about chapters 17 and 18.
Okay, let's get into it.
We ended off reading chapter 16.
Yes. And things got really crazy these last couple chapters. So we had like pretty much nothing happening for the first, I'd say like 15 chapters. And then Mark is in the hospital and he has amnesia and can't remember anything. The boys and the girls finally met. They had a very awkward date at the ice cream shop.
They each got 2 scoops of, you know, like the same flavor, but 2 scoops of it. And they all like somehow wanted different flavors. Very contrived.
Yeah. you'd think at least we, from like a writer's point of view, would have like made like the couples that match up the same flavor just to like,
Kind of like hint.
Yeah, but no, they all picked different flavors.
And to all of our horror, Jill, who recently has gotten engaged, is now kissing Jack.
Yes.
In Mark's hospital room.
Jack and Jill, who could have seen that? Who could have foretold? I don't know.
So things are getting a little spicy. Things are getting a little dubious ethics kind of thing. We'll see.
Yeah, they're really getting off the rails. Let's see where chapter 17 takes us.
Chapter 17, let's see, we start off Sunday, July 2nd at 11:11 a.m. Nice. Make a wish.
So, is Mark doing okay? Brooke asked Jill when she came to visit her best friend. It's important to note that, so the whole group of them, all the guys and the girls, as soon as they heard that Mark was in the hospital, they hopped into the car, drove off to the hospital, and then left Jill and Jack there as the rest of them just like went on their date. They just left them there in the hospital when this poor guy was in life-threatening condition, and they just left him.
With amnesia, like bad amnesia.
Yeah. Brooke is trying to be, I guess, to make up for her, for the fact that she's a horrible friend, by asking if Mark's okay.
The two, Jack and Jill, had spent the night in the hospital at Mark's side, while the rest of the gang had hung out at the mall. Martin rescheduled the reservations at Pish Posh for the next day after work, as it was Monday once again.
Nice guy. He's a good guy.
Okay, so they didn't end up going to Pish Posh, but they hung out at the mall instead.
As you do, you know. That morning, Brooke and Felipe stopped by the hospital to bring Jill and Jack a pile of fresh clothes.
Yeah, you can't always be saying Jack and Jill. Sometimes you have to say Jill and Jack.
Welcome. Yeah.
So here is Jill responding. Yeah, he's okay. Still calling me Gertrude, though.
Oh, right. So Mark asked, Mark has really bad amnesia. Jill walks into his room and he says, what's your name? And Jill, who's just so mean to him for no reason, she's like, haha, my name's Gertrude. Just to like test if he actually has amnesia or not, or he's just faking it for the doctors. So now she's, I guess, pissed off that her lie worked, I guess.
That he indeed has amnesia.
He does have amnesia. Crazy. So, it's good you stayed with him, interjected Felipe.
The doctors said he was in critical condition or some other junk. To me, he seemed perfectly fine, you know, except for all the Gertrude stuff. I finally got them to believe he would be less stable without me around, so I guess they let me stay, Jill answered.
Weird. Okay. In IKEA, we found this perfect shelf for you. Brooke bought it, but we all helped pick it out. Remember the last time we were there, you fell in love with it? Brooke exclaimed. Wait. So Brooke said that, but also Brooke is speaking in the third person because she says Brooke bought it. What? What the heck?
Good job, Brooke.
Way to go, Brooke. Brooke is doing great. After leaving Jack and Jill alone at the hospital last night, the group had stopped at IKEA to pick up a gift for Jill. Why? Not the one with amnesia.
Why not a gift for Mark?
Right?
First stop, IKEA. Second stop, the mall.
They really know how to live it up.
Yeah. You guys, that shelf costs like $60. Why did you get it for me? Jill shrieked.
Consider it a sorry your fiance almost died present. Brooke nodded. Are you going to stay here? I'll call your boss and tell him you won't be in today. Martin moved the reservations at Pish Posh to this evening, so we'll come to pick you up at 5-ish, okay? Why would Jill be calling her boss? What? I guess they're just so close from their, like, from the fact that they go to each other's office once a month. So Brooke is just, like, really close with Jill's boss.
Mm-hmm.
So just calls him up sometimes.
So Jill's not going to be able to go to work. She has to call in and say, I'm not going to be there. But she will for sure be ready to go at 5-ish to Pish Posh.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, that's not even Brooke's not even asking if she's coming. She's like, we'll pick you up at 5, be ready.
Yep.
Jill nodded and replied, it's okay, I'll call him. Thank you, guys. You're the best. She hugged Brooke. Brooke worked every other Sunday, as there were most tourists on that day, but mostly because no one else, we free. But mostly because no one else was free.
Yes, but also, we want to say that Jill worked every other Sunday, because she's a tour guide, right, at the museum?
Yeah.
Weird.
We don't know their names. Jill worked every other Sunday, as there were most tourists on that day, but mostly because no one else was free.
Fair. We dropped the shelf off at your house, if you don't mind, Felipe said, nervously.
He's doing that, you know that, like...
like, fingers point to get each other emoji, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, we just, like, broke into your house and, like, dropped off this IKEA furniture at your house. I hope that's okay, fingers emojis pointing at each other.
No problem. Thanks so much, you guys. Jill said as Brooke and Felipe headed out the door.
See you later, Felipe said as the two left. All right, mid-chapter break, let's go.
Enough of the dilly-dallying, said Martin. In brackets, he had a thing for strange, childish words. What are we going to eat? The group opened their menus and scanned through the items. The restaurant featured foods such as ribs, steak, lobster and shrimps, which were famous all across the state. As good as the food sounded, Kieran had trouble choosing her dinner, thanks to the fact that she swore off meat in the second grade.
I'm vegetarian, she said, biting her lip.
Oh, that's okay. I am too. My uncle always makes me this special 100% vegetarian meal when I come here, said Martin, rubbing her shoulder.
Ew. Ooh. Like, reached over and, like...
We're getting a little physical.
It's okay. I'm vegetarian. Rub, 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 rub. Weird. Really? Your uncle owns this place? Brooke suddenly perked up. Whoa, that's a big sentence without any spaces. You know, I heard this place has the best lobster in the city, and I was wondering if I can get a few tips on how to prepare it. She talked so fast, only her friends, semicolon, who were accustomed to hearing her speak so fast, semicolon, understood.
What? Chris asked.
She was wondering if she can get a few pointers from your uncle on how to prepare the lobster, Jenna said, sounding bored.
So Jill spits out some word vomit. No, is it Jill?
Brooke.
Brooke spits out some word vomit.
Yep.
And then when a normal person is like, could you repeat what you said? That didn't make any sense. Jenna's like, oh, you're so boring. You didn't understand what she said. They're on a date. Like, at least try.
You just have to be nice. You have to be friendly. You can't just be your regular salty self. Man. Oh, yeah, of course. I'll just go check with my uncle, Martin said, standing up.
Thanks, Brooke smiled.
I've always wanted to see what a restaurant kitchen looks like. Can I come with you? Chris asked and stood up from the table. Chris and Martin. I'm calling it right now, but they're a pairing. They're going to be a thing.
So where's Justin? Asked Jenna, noticing that he wasn't at the table with them.
He had to go somewhere with his family. He told me to tell you hi. So, hi, said Felipe. Nice.
Wow, Justin stepping out of this 5-4 thing. A little early in the game.
Interesting. Also, Felipe totally would not have said hi to Jenna from Justin unless he was prompted. Not a very good friend.
Not a good friend. What are we going to eat? Asked Felipe.
So, I'll take the, started Kieran. At that moment, a waiter walked to their table.
Anything to drink? He asked.
Sure. Martin said that the Australian white wine is awesome. You guys want that? The girls looked at each other, and they all nodded.
They're all drinking wine!
Whoa! That's crazy. That's crazy. That's insane. I guess they're trying to be, they're trying to fit in with their dates, I guess.
Yeah, we'll take one for each of us, please.
6 or 9 ounces, asked the bored waiter. Isn't this like some high-end restaurant? Why are you hiring bored waiters at your fancy restaurant?
9, please. He? I don't know who's speaking. 9, please, he said, as the waiter walked away. So the waiter's like, I'm so bored. 6 or 9 ounces, turns around, starts walking away before they answer.
Yes. Before an unidentified male answers. Jenna nudged Jill's arm. But Jill, I don't drink, remember? She whispered.
It won't kill you, Jen, don't worry. She waved her off and continued staring at Jack, who was staring at her. Jenna shook her head and she looked at Felipe from the corner of her eye.
Okay, so they're still not talking to each other.
Nope.
Just kind of staring. Jill and Jack are still staring at each other.
They're just so gross.
Weird.
They literally purchased an IKEA shelf for Jill to be like, sorry, your fiance has amnesia. But they're just all going to sit around and watch her make googly eyes at Jack. I don't stand for this. I mean, clearly I did, but I don't anymore.
This is okay. But this is just another very awkward date in the books.
And a bit of peer pressure, alcohol going on.
Oh yeah, that's not okay.
A few minutes later, the waiter came back, this time carrying a bottle of white wine. He poured the wine into each of their cups, spilling a few drops. He wiped the drops off and turned around to walk back to the kitchen. Okay, so this guy's a robot. Step, 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 step. Or
look, 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 look.
Wipe, wipe. Walk, 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 walk. I also think that if they're all having 9 ounces of wine, I think they need more than one wine bottle.
Yeah, probably. Anyway. Wow, it's crazy. 12-year-olds don't know how about ordering alcohol at a restaurant. Crazy. Who'd have thought?
Hey, Lewis, said Martin and patted the waiter on the back.
Martin likes to touch people.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
The boy, as he was no older than 16, instantly brightened.
What the heck? What are these alcohol laws in New York? First of all, you're not allowed to drink until you're 21, but this child, this child robot is allowed to serve alcohol.
What Never kind know.
Of- Weird. Hey, Martin, what's up? He asked Martin, obviously respecting the older man. I don't know why that's in quotations.
Nothing much. Oh, and can you bring the bread rolls, please? I'm starving.
Coming right up, he said, and scurried away.
What do you guys want to eat? My dad says it's on the house. His dad?
Isn't that his uncle? What?
Maybe his uncle and his dad work together. But it's his uncle's restaurant, but his dad works there.
His dad's like, it's fine. My brother's going to pay for everything. Okay, now we're getting to ordering. We're going to get exactly what they eat in excruciating detail. Are you ready for this? Okay. Sweet. I'll have the prime rib classic, the iceberg wedge salad, and a garlic cheese bread, said Felipe.
Jill and I are going to share the steak and half lobster with the sautéed cremini mushrooms, returned Brooke.
Jenna and I are going to share the pecan sirloin and a wedge salad, Chris said, staring dreamily at Jenna.
Cool, I'll go tell my dad, Martin said, getting up once more.
How does he remember all that? Kieran asked.
He works as a waiter here all the time. Today is his day off, said Felipe. Okay, Felipe, you just became friends with this guy a week ago. Okay, you don't know his life.
Here we go. Jenna's pointing something very obvious out. Wow, you sure seem to know a lot about him, said Jenna.
It was on his MySpace page, Felipe responded, showing the group his blueberry phone, capitalized on both B's.
Yep.
He looked sheepish. Jenna giggled, and Chris shot him a warning glance. Sensing that he had a crush on Jenna, Felipe backed away. The two-sentence exchange between Jenna and Felipe is, like, registering as flirting for Chris, and Chris is getting defensive, and he's shooting death glares at Felipe, and now Felipe is going to have to back off. It's like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
We kind of wrote a double Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Yeah. Thing. But somehow...
Bachelor in Paradise, whatever the one is where they're, like...
Yeah, but somehow worse. Like, The Bachelor's pretty bad, but this is worse. This is a whole new level of bad. How did you guys meet again? Jill asked, having not heard the full story.
At the cafe beside the New York Times, they were drinking coffee or something there, and we just, I don't know, clicked, Brooke answered. The girls looked at their partners, and the boys looked back at them.
First, we haven't, who are, like, the partners? Have we even, like, announced that?
The ones that were holding hands, probably.
Oh. Yeah, and I can tell from how much chemistry they have that they're definitely clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Dinner will be ready in a few. Martin came back to their table to find them all staring hypnotically at each other. Okay. This is getting creepy, he said as he took his seat beside Brooke.
Nope. Like, either we have to have leaned into this magical realism stuff or not write stuff like that, because that's just
nope.
Weird.
Nope. Or maybe, you don't know, maybe some hypnotist came by to their table, like, swung a pocket watch on their eyes and just hypnotized them all.
Jill broke her eye contact with Jack and said, I want to make a toast. The rest of her friends nodded and looked away from their partners.
First of all, to Mark, may he get well soon. But also, to true love, because I think we all found our Romeos. Cheers, she said, and looked at Jack from the corner of her eye.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mark, my fiance, he almost died, like, yesterday. He doesn't remember who I am. He has very bad amnesia. The doctors say he's in a critical condition, but also I think this random stranger that I just met is my soulmate.
Also, Romeo and Juliet is not, like, you shouldn't really strive for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they knew each other for a week and they both ended up dead.
Kind of a tragedy situation, yeah. Yeah. Let's do this part together. Two, three. To true love. Oh, God. I think I'll just do that again. To true love, the rest said in clinked glasses.
Jenna looked skeptically at her glass, sucking in her breath and taking a tiny sip from her cup. Whoa. There's nothing like throwing away your morals, your standards, because your friends peer pressure you into drinking alcohol. Way to go, Jenna. My client is, wow, this is good, she said, and chugged half her glass. Jenna is a mad lad. Also, no one has ever said, wow, this is good, to their first sip of wine. Nobody.
You have to walk up. Yeah. And even well, actually, it's like amazing Australian wine.
That's true. That's true. Every other wine, even when you like build up a tolerance to the taste, you take a sip and you're like, oh, this is bearable. I can drink this. No one ever says, wow, this is good, and then chugs half their glass.
It's like maybe the second glass that you're like, this actually tastes okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jen? That was supposed to last all evening, said Brooke, looking sideways at her friend.
Yikes.
Dude, you guys were the ones that kept pressuring her.
And now she's finally going along with it, and now you're just being so judgy. Also, what a way to make a first impression to these, like, supposed soulmates that you just met. Like, that's just don't be mean to your friends. What? Ugh. Oh, give her a break. This is her first drink since, well, since she was born. Kieran giggled.
That's a really weird way to put it. Like, what, did she have a drink when she was born?
She was in the womb and she was consuming alcohol. That was the last time.
Really? Martin asked, surprised. This is as good as it gets on this side of the country.
If you can fly in wine from Australia to New York, I'm sure you can get whatever supposed better wine there is in, like, California or whatever, also to New York. What kind of sentence?
Like, with what authority did we try to give this as a line to Martin?
Yeah, I don't think I ever had such good wine, Brooke said, flirtatiously. That's how you flirt. Yep.
Just silence and then comment on the wine four times.
Clap.
Just then, Louis arrived with two giant plates of food. He put one in front of Felipe and one in front of Jenna.
I'll be right back, he said, and scurried back to the kitchen. So he used to be a robot. Now he's a rat. What else scurries?
It's because Martin tapped him on the back. So he changed his mode from robot to rat to mouse. As promised, he returned. He scurries real fast. As promised, he returned. I can't even say it. As promised, he returned less than 10 seconds later with two more plates of food.
Speedy boy.
These he placed in front of Jill and Jack. He disappeared again, this time bringing two more plates. These he placed in front of Kieran and Martin.
Thanks for the detail. Definitely knew that. These are cheese and spinach crepes. I hope you enjoy all the vegetarian meals. Okay. Bon appetit, Louis said cheerily.
The eight dug in and smacked their lips.
Ew. Simultaneously, all at the same time. It's, like a cult, it's like a cult chant, but you just hear like lips smacking. Ew. Nothing to make, just when you thought this dinner couldn't get any more cringy or awkward, you just hear people making eating sounds. Eight people making eating sounds.
Oh, God. Wow, that is good, Jenna said, and they all agreed.
End of chapter.
Oh, I am burdened. Cool. Same wow. night, chapter 18, just later in the evening, 10:19 p.m.
Yep. Felipe, truth or dare? Brooke asked. The group of eight were in Felipe's downtown apartment. After watching the newest Pirates of the Caribbean movie, they popped lots of popcorn and sat down to play truth or dare.
I feel like truth or dare cannot be possibly as fun when everybody is already partnered.
Yeah. Also sober.
Well, no, they had one quick glass of wine.
They shared one bottle of wine. And now they're ready to play truth or dare. Also, where did they get Pirates of the Caribbean? Definitely Netflix wasn't a thing.
Nope. The like Redbox DVD rental.
Yeah, somebody rented a DVD and then they watched Pirates of the Caribbean. That's a great date movie, I think.
Wait, so they're having this whole date without Justin?
Yeah.
So Justin's just, I mean, we don't know if he's out of the picture forever, but if he comes back, that's going to be dramatic.
Ooh.
Anyway, Felipe answers, I pick truth.
Okay. Brooke said, smiling at Jenna, Kieran, and Jill. From us four, who would you rather kiss? Scandalous.
I really hope that was the first question. Like,
just dive right into it, you know?
Felipe started looking at his mates, who shot him warning glances as if saying, if you pick my girl, I will kill you. Brooke, he said, and leaned over to kiss her on the cheek.
Ooh, Felipe and Brooke, said Chris, and clapped him on the back. She just smacked him.
Brooke blushed insanely and giggled.
Yeah, she blushed like an insane person. What? Only crazy people blush.
Jenna, being a little drunk thanks to the three glasses of wine she drank, could not watch her best friend kiss her Romeo. She grabbed his shirt collar and kissed him square on the lips. She pulled away for a second.
Ooh, spicy. I'm blushing insanely.
He's mine, she giggled. Don't know how you giggle that.
He's mine. You sound like the clown from It. Just as you like drag the child down the sewer. He's mine. Felipe could smell and taste the alcohol in her mouth, but continued kissing her as he was feeling a little buzzed himself. Well, that's awkward.
It's going nuts. Brooke watched the spectacle in front of her eyes, and a tear came to her eye. She got up and stormed off to the bathroom. It seemed as though Chris was the only one that noticed her storm off. The rest of his friends were laughing and pointing to Felipe and Jenna, now making out fiercely on the living room floor.
Yeah, they were laughing and pointing. Yeah, that's a normal reaction.
Jenna was still tugging at his shirt collar and unbuttoning it.
Jenna! Whoa! Tone it down, girl! Oh my god!
3 glasses of wine or not, you know your friends are watching.
Oh yeah, and also like 4 complete strangers as well.
Oh yoy yoy.
Weird. Kieran also noticed Brooke stomp off, but took no notice, as she was now grabbing Martin and kissing him. What? What? Is this going to turn into an orgy? Is this what happens?
So this is my, what is it, my dad wrote a porno?
Yeah, literally. Literally. My 12-year-old self wrote a porno.
Oh, God.
Ew, this just feels so... Ah.
Keep going.
Okay. Martin, who is not as open with his feelings as Felipe, did not feel comfortable kissing someone who he was sure he really loved.
Maybe like kissing in public. He wants it to be special.
Weird. Martin tried pulling away, but Kieran's grip was tighter. He gave in to her kissing and kissed her back.
Whoa. That's some aggressive tactics on Kieran's part.
Yeah. Yep.
As the two couples were making out on the carpet. Ew.
Ew.
Jill and Jack just looked at each other. Jack wanted to kiss her so badly, but as she was engaged, he did not want to get in the middle of that.
Didn't stop him last time.
You already did it, buds. Jill also wanted to kiss Jack badly, but felt as though the kiss in the hospital room was deceiving her fiancé enough.
She has morals. One moral.
She toasted. She toasted to them finding their Romeos.
Yeah. She said it publicly. Yeah. Also, doesn't anyone feel like it's a little bit too quick? Like, they literally just met. They sat down to eat dinner. They didn't even talk at all. They just kind of stared at each other. And then Jill was like, we're soulmates. If I was on that date, I would be thoroughly freaked out. That's horrifying. Anyway, the story continues. Back in the bathroom, Brooke did not let Chris into the room. She was too embarrassed for anyone to see her. Chris kept knocking on the door as Brooke yelled at him to go away. Finally, he managed to pick the lock and found Brooke sitting on the floor, rubbing her eyes. We love consent, don't we?
He picked the lock? How? With his long pinky nail.
Ew. Yes.
I told you I look disgusting. You should not have come in, she said through tears.
No, it's okay, he answered. Come on, let's get you cleaned up. Brooke shook her head and turned her head away.
The worst thing is that she knows how much I like him, Brooke sobbed.
But did you actually tell her?
Wow. Communication. Not really, but she knew. That was when Chris pulled out his U-phone and tapped a few times on the touchscreen of his phone. He turned it off and the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love, began to play. I'm like gagging. Chris held out his hand.
Ew! Ew!
May I have this dance? He said in a cheesy voice. Brooke could not help but giggle at his facial expressions, the song, and the room they were in.
Haha, his face is stupid.
However, oh. She nodded and took his hand. She stood up and pulled Chris close to her. The two swayed to the sound of John Lennon's voice. This is ridiculous. When the song was finished, Brooke wiped her eyes and smiled. Thanks, Chris. You're the best, she said, and kissed him softly on the lips.
I see what's going on. I'm so excited. We're going to escape this hellhole of like orgy things happening. I don't know. Things are about to get exciting. Okay. Just then, there was a loud banging on the door. Brooke did not acknowledge it until Jill's voice came from the other side. "Mark disappeared from the hospital!" she yelled.
Oh, boy.
My gosh. That's a cliffhanger.
You would think that a car crash would take Mark out of the picture. You would think that Jill meeting Jack would take Mark out of the picture, but he keeps coming back.
He is in the picture. He is very much in the picture. I think this is a good place to leave it, though.
Oh, okay.
This is a good cliffhanger. Some drama's happening. I have to admit, I remember like the tiniest little bit of what comes after, and I'm really excited to see it like manifest itself.
So I totally blocked out this part of the story that we just read, probably for good reason, but you're right. I also remember inklings of what's coming next, and it's a lot.
I'm so excited.
Like, I think we're gonna almost like twist genres. Like, we're just gonna take a sharp left, you know?
Yep. So actually next weekend we're going camping to the same place where this story was actually born, which is gonna be really exciting. And we have a bunch of our friends coming there too, and I think we're gonna do like a group read of this together. So this is gonna be a really fun chapter to read together.
I am excited. So I think probably next time we'll do a little bit of a synopsis catch up to that point.
Yep.
And then read this next chapter with some new voices.
Oh yeah.
And see what they think. Get some honest opinions, you know?
Yep. Our friends are gonna come in cringe with us. It's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
As long as nothing more explicit happens.
Yeah, that's true. But you're right, I completely blocked out this memory too, like definitely with good reason. I don't remember what happened in this chapter, so I don't know if nothing more explicit comes after this, or I've just also blocked that memory out, so
who knows.
Hey. Yep.
Wow, so more awkwardness between our couples who apparently sort of know that they've met one another / the one, but it's actually not really clear how they're pairing up, because clearly Felipe sort of was into Brooke, but then I don't know, it got messy.
Yeah, it's strange. We never really had them like talk to each other,
you know, one-on-one.
Yeah, one-on-one. They never figured out like, oh, something weird's happening, like what's happening. They just kind of jumped to that like conclusion of, we're soulmates, you're my Romeo.
Like, do they even know that the guys fell out of the sky? I don't think so.
No, that's true. I don't think that's ever mentioned. I don't think we ever mentioned that again.
I don't know what the purpose was of dropping them out of the sky. Honestly, if we're not going to call back to it ever. Oh, the purpose of it was to meet Roger.
Don't know, spoilers. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We'll see how the story develops.
I'm excited.
Exciting chapters, and that's a pretty exciting cliffhanger too. So I'm really looking forward to see what happens in chapter 19.
Ooh, ooh. So now this leaves us, let's see, we're still only about halfway through. Can that possibly be?
We're on page 161 of 281.
Okay, a little more than halfway through.
Yeah. So we're making good progress.
Okay, so actually that makes a lot of sense. We're gonna do a little halfway roundup and then keep going after that. Good.
Yeah, that works. It's gonna be fun. Okay, so I'm looking forward to next week. Going camping, seeing where this whole thing was born. Maybe one day they'll put up a monument in our honor. It's raining men. It's created here.
Alexa and Claudia. Good stuff. One last thing. Oh, I guess, well, we have to find out what's going on with Mark, but I want to see what's happening with Justin.
Yeah.
I feel bad for my guy, Justin.
it seemed like a lazy way to like get rid of that fifth member, you know? Like we sort of introduced the idea of like, oh, there's four girls and five guys, how are we gonna work that out? But just having Justin have a family thing that he has to go to seems kind of lazy.
Mm-hmm.
A little lazy. It seems like we just made that discovery at this point in the novel and we were like, oh no, there's too many boys. Let's just get rid of one of them.
Yeah, the face in the sky wouldn't have thrown a random guy into the mix. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The lore says that the face in the sky knows everything. And the lore being me.
Yes. But yeah, so I hope we sort of tie up that loose end. Mm-hmm. See what's happening with our boy, J-Man.
J-Man. Thanks for listening to episode 7 of It's Probably Raining Men.
Oh yeah, join us next week for our special guest / camping extravaganza and also the resolution to this epic cliffhanger. Dun dun dun!